Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, July 1st. I'm Jonathan Aull. China is a major buyer of U.S. agricultural goods, including specialty products that have few alternative markets. Some producers worry the on-and-off tariffs with the country could hurt America's reputation as a reliable seller.
The damage is deep on this one.
We'll hear how trade tensions are impacting specialty products like ginseng and livestock genetics. That story's coming up on The Gateway. St. Louis officials plan to end a curfew in place for part of the city that the May 16th tornado damaged. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on the police's decision-making.
St. Louis police had a 9 p.m. to 6 p.m. curfew in place shortly after the May 16th tornado, primarily to protect residents from looters. It was in effect for the police's 5th and 6th districts, which take in parts of North St. Louis. St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department spokesman Mitch McCoy says his agency is ending the curfew on Tuesday.
The calls in the tornado impacted areas have pretty much returned back to the normal call load for officers.
McCoy added that St. Louis police will continue to have extra officers in the areas the tornado affected the most. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri has already broken the record for the most tornadoes in a year in about 30 years. There have been 117 reports of tornadoes, and that number could unfortunately still grow, according to Jack Lesser, Missouri's state climatologist.
It is somewhat alarming that we've already had so many tornadoes this year, but we do still have half of a year to go and on average can see tornadoes even kind of out of our regular season.
The previous record-holding year was 106 tornadoes in 2006. This year's tornadoes have also been extremely destructive and deadly. Tornadoes have killed 17 people in Missouri this year. That's the most tornado deaths since 2011, when the Joplin tornado killed more than 150 people. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe has signed into law a $50.8 billion state budget. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, those actions also included vetoing over $2 billion from the budget.
The version of the budget lawmakers passed in May totaled roughly $53.1 billion. Now, a month or so later, Kehoe reduced that total to about $51 billion. One veto, which totaled over $1 billion on its own, was for the Federal Road Fund Spending Authority for the Missouri Department of Transportation's construction program. A statement issued by Kehoe's office says several budgetary items that were not originally planned by the governor have compounded the budget challenges the state is facing. Those items include fully funding the state's K-12 education formula and over $100 million for storm relief. Kehoe also cited the legislature passing a bill that eliminates the capital gains tax in Missouri as another reason to reduce spending. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County's animal shelter has avoided the threat of closure. County officials announced yesterday that the shelter had passed a state inspection and received its license to operate. It had failed three previous inspections and could have been shut down for failing additional ones. In a statement, the county's health director called the successful inspection a team effort. She thanked staff and volunteers who had spent hours, including on weekends, to bring the Animal Care and Control Building in Olivette up to code. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page has asked for almost $21 million in RAM settlement funds to make upgrades to the facility, which is nearly 60 years old. LGBTQ plus Rolla now has a space of its own. The advocacy group for the area's queer community opened its community center yesterday, the last day of Pride Month. The storefront location will host social events to start, and the organization hopes to add support groups in the future. Nicoya Benton and her partner attended the grand opening to support younger generations.
I knew literally no out gay people when I was growing up. And just to know that there would have been a safe place to come, to know that I was cherished for who I was would have been amazing. And I'm so grateful it exists today.
Benton says the safe space is especially important now as LGBTQ people are feeling threatened by actions, including book bans and limiting the rights of trans people. Festival goers are planning a new music event for September. It features 100 St. Louis artists performing across 10 venues in Grand Center. The Free for All Festival is set for the weekend before the Music at the Intersection Festival. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports.
Kranzberg Arts Foundation produces music at the intersection and is a force behind Free For All. It's donating use of its venues, including the Big Top and the Dark Room. But the spark for Free For All comes from veterans of the music showcase the Riverfront Times used to produce, which ended in 2019. Cultural journalist Joseph Hess, who helped with the RFT event, says the St. Louis music scene is hungry for something similar.
I've had strangers reach out to me asking me if I know of any event like that. To me, a gigantic, incredibly musically diverse, all-local music festival is a no-brainer.
Free For All will happen September 6th and 7th. Tickets are free. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Many more restaurants opened than closed in the St. Louis region last month. St. Louis Public Radio's Jessica Rogan reports on the eating expansion.
Downtown St. Louis lost both Passport Craft Cocktail and Wine Bar and Jovic Bros Cafe, which lasted less than a year. Midtown Shedwell Spent Brewing and Happy Joe's Pizza closed in St. Peter's. But that was it as far as closings go. Sandwich fans can now check out Garden Variety Deli in Tower Grove South, Lefty's Bagels in the JCC, or Sando Shack in Maplewood. Food truck Bougie Bites got a physical location in Overland. Owner LaToya Thompson also has a home health company.
It's always had like this passion or need of community.
Bougie Bites sells vegan fare, including burgers and tacos that Thompson said is meant to be approachable. I'm Jessica Rogan, St. Louis Public Radio.
China is the third largest export market for U.S. agricultural products, buying American staples, including soybeans and beef. But the country is also a destination for many specialty products that have fewer options for sales at home and abroad. Negotiations between the U.S. and China over a new trade agreement have meant months of uncertainty. And as Harvest Public Media's Hope Kerwin reports, that's left some specialty producers worrying about the future.
The ginseng roots in Will Su's hands sound almost musical as they clink against each other, falling back into a large cardboard box that's waiting for shipment.
So this is what ginseng would look like, kind of coming in a dried form off the farm.
Su operates one of the largest ginseng farms in Wisconsin, where almost all of the crop is grown in the U.S. The slightly bitter, herbal-tasting root is a staple of Chinese medicine, and about half of Su's crop is exported to Asian processors, most of whom are in China and Hong Kong. But those sales have been on hold since President Donald Trump came into office and started a back-and-forth exchange of escalating tariffs with China.
We still are holding about 80% plus of our 2024 crop because of tariffs.
That's thousands of cardboard boxes sitting in Su's warehouse. Some of his buyers are waiting to finish sales in the hope that China will lower a 32% tariff on U.S. ginseng that goes back to the first Trump administration. Earlier this month, the president announced the U.S. had reached a new trade agreement with China, but details have yet to be released. Meanwhile, a 90-day pause on higher import taxes between the two countries is set to expire in early August. Farmers across the ag industry are waiting to see how the deal will impact their products. But Su is skeptical the agreement will greatly improve his market. He's worried that demand will continue to erode for Wisconsin ginseng, a premium product akin to buying wine from Napa Valley.
And it's very hard then to convince them to go back to something that is more expensive once they've swapped to a cheaper substitute.
China is also an important market for products that have little domestic demand. That includes pork offal, or what are sometimes called variety meats, the internal organs of a hog like the heart and liver. Because of cultural differences, exporting these byproducts provides a much higher price than if they were sold in the U.S. And around 55% of U.S. offal exports go to China, according to the National Pork Producers Council. Ag economist David Anderson from Texas A&M University says prices for offal fell abruptly in response to the tariff exchange in April. But that price has rebounded since the start of the 90-day tariff pause last month.
I think it highlights that there is international demand and that the tariffs do matter.
But some industries are worried about a more lasting impact from the continued trade tensions with China. Tony Clayton operates a livestock export company in Jefferson City, Missouri. He sells cattle, hogs, and other animals all over the world for breeding. Clayton says exports of breeding swine to China were strong at the start of the year. But after the roller coaster of tariffs and pauses, he says America's brand as a reliable seller has been tarnished, not only in China, but in markets around the world.
The damage is deep on this one. And there's not a week that goes by that I don't have 3 to 4 customers ask the question, what's happened to the United States?
Clayton says China tightly controls the sale of livestock into their country, making it a difficult market to break into. The on and off tariffs exchanged with the U.S. has opened the door for competitors like Australia and the European Union. And he says that shift is likely permanent.
I just wish we had a consistent trade policy. We start, we stop, we start, we stop. And it is just difficult to make any plans.
Clayton is working to squeeze in one sale of breeding pigs before the tariff pause ends. But he's already looking for new markets to start developing in case sales to China don't recover. I'm Hope Kerwin, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including St. Louis Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan Aull, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.